9-8 interview.
Dale, welcome back to the 9-8 podcast.
It's fantastic to be back, man. How long's it been? Like two years?
Something like that. Yeah, like 18 months or something. I know that you've been on the show at least once. I want to say twice before, but I feel like maybe I'm getting my wires crossed.
Look, at some point I'm going to become a co-host, and I'm okay with that.
Absolutely, absolutely. We'll have a chat about that after. I mean, you. First things first. How are you going? Have you survived this this crazy bullshit that has been COVID and, you know, all the rest? And you and your family and your friends and your loved ones, they're all safe and sound?
Yeah, man. We try not to mention COVID too much anymore. Try and push it in the back of our brains.
Absolutely.
It's basically like a fever dream at this point. Being on almost on the other side of it now, you know, like we're sort of on the horizon of being properly post. I keep saying post COVID, despite still being peri COVID, I suppose, just for the hope that I sort of hold for that. But yeah, no, we're all doing well. Yeah, not much to say. Yeah.
Yep. No, I understand that. I know last time we spoke as well, you were finishing. Let me get this right. Was it a mechatronics degree or a PhD in robotics or some such?
It was. That's honestly pretty close. I'm still doing my PhD in artificial intelligence music.
Okay, that's what it was. Yes. It was something way more interesting than robots. I just couldn't remember what it was. So I'm sorry for that. That's on me.
No, close enough. I mean, like 18 months. Come on. it's basically like it's a music degree, but it's like looking at how artificial intelligence is sort of going to change creativity and look at, essentially how it's going to change some aspects of production and consumption in the music industry. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And what are you finding? Or can you not tell me? Is it like, I can't tell you because I'll have to kill you kind of thing?
I wish it was that secretive. I mean, if you can write a PhD and steal my idea, that would be great. Then I wouldn't have to finish it. No, I'm finding some pretty interesting stuff. That's like, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff on, looking at how wired brains might come into the sort of equation, how we can sort of channel subconscious ideas of creativity, things that we aren't even aware of, or things that we are aware of but can't harness, that sort of thing. There's always the consciousness debate that comes into it. Something that's quite interesting, but I always find myself sort of shying away from, just to get back on track a bit more. Some of the interesting stuff that I've found, though, is like there actually isn't that much good music made with AI, funnily enough.
It's interesting.
Yeah, there's only a few people around the globe that are even sort of mildly producing at least listenable music with AI. There's one artist, Holly Herndon, who does some really interesting stuff. But yeah, anyway, that's my sort of big thing right now.
Because it's interesting, because we've had a few discussions on the show, my co-host Hoggy and I, talking about, you know, the future of music and AI and even things where you get people sort of making, AI's making songs and then people performing it and tweaking it. And it seems to be sort of maybe where pop music might be going, in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Basically, that's my perspective, is like anything that can sort of increase the efficiency and essentially the profit at the end of the day, bringing our sort of like Marxist lens into it, is just like anything that will help with making more music. So AI is a perfect example of that, where it's just, you know, eliminating different processes along the way, helping people to sort of, there's the negative side of it and the positive side of it as well. Being, you know, obviously an oversaturated market full of music that may or may not be good, meaning that it's harder to find the music that you like, not even good music necessarily, whatever that sort of means for us. But then there's, you know, the other side of it as well, where there just is really incredible music, stuff that we have absolutely no idea how it could be made without AI.
And it's funny, I was watching a video on the Beatles the other day, and I know that whenever you start talking about music, inevitably something's going to come back to the Beatles, right? And it was about Penny Lane and the chord progressions and such in that, and they're just amazing. When you actually break them down, you know, everyone knows the song, but when you actually sit down and think about and have someone break down in front of you, it was Paul Davis, by the way, that did that, the guy on YouTube. And he just went through the whole thing and basically went, this is ridiculous. Like, this is just an amazing... And breaking it down, you go, oh, shit, yeah, actually, that's a lot better than I think probably people give it a lot of credit for, because it's seen as a Beatles song, right? I mean, how hard can it be? And all of a sudden, it's actually really, really complex.
I mean, the dudes, like, basically led the way in popular songwriting. They completely changed the idea of what a popular band should be, or a popular band should be, back in the late 50s and 60s. You know, they essentially just started playing music in their garage and were like, oh, hey, anyone can do this. We're doing it. Mm. And anyone can become the biggest star. You know, like Elvis was the biggest thing before them. Mm. And Elvis didn't even have an original song on his first album. They're all rearrangements and covers and stuff, you know. Yeah. So the Beatles really were like the most fundamentally important band to rock music.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, Elvis was really an American 1950s Michael Bublé, when you think about it. You know, everything was all covers and all that kind of stuff, and then obviously had his own stuff a little bit later on. He had the Fat Elvis era, and then he died. But, you know, it was the Beatles are still arguably going. Sorry?
I can't wait for my Fat Dale era. I don't know what that's going to entail. I'm just excited for that.
You keep drinking those sour beers, man, and you might get there a bit quicker than you think. And there's no shade on that, by the way, because I love a good sour. Actually, my partner, she has now figured out that she loves sour beers as well, which is great because it means I can be way less guilty about drinking beer around her. I suppose we need to talk about this festival thing that you guys are doing.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, Uncaged Festival. Monster of a lineup with, I mean, I've got to admit, I saw the lineup and I went, Wolf Mother?
Yeah.
What year are we in? But there's some other great, amazing bands on this lineup. Obviously, Caligula's Horse, you know, Circles are on it, Kingswood, Ocean Sleeper, Magic Dirt, there's a name I haven't heard for a while. You know, Lagerstein, Omnific, Ballfoot Ninja. I mean, and there's a whole bunch of others that are specific to specific cities and so on and so forth. How long have you guys been sitting on this? Be honest. Like, is this like a 6 month thing, or is it like a 2 second? Yeah, right. We'll do it. Like,
it's pretty funny. It came up not too long ago, actually. I think obviously it must have been in the works for a while, because planning a festival these days is just insane. So, you know, the balls to come out and do something that is essentially going to become the next biggest heavy music festival in Australia, at least in my belief, it honestly takes some cojones that aren't around that much these days in the music industry. You know, we have this sort of really vast hole post Soundwave, you know, where heavy music really been lacking. And now we have a festival that's going out on a limb up Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne on the, like, cusp of COVID. Mm. That's honestly an insanely ballsy move. And it's going to work out. It's going to be amazing. Mm. It's funny you mentioned, like, the diversity of the lineup is actually something that I find a really big strength of the festival. Mm. The ability to have, like, a few of each genre, something that really appeals to a lot of people and just gather people again after having essentially 2 years of being locked down in a house, especially people in Melbourne as well, you know, and Sydney. Queensland had it super easy, but just gathering all those people at the same time and exposing them to new music is just incredible. I actually saw on the, I think it was on the Facebook page or either the Instagram page when we got announced for it, there were people going, you know, there was only like one or two people sort of saying this, which was nice, but there was someone going, oh, Caligula's Horse, who's that? And someone's like, oh, they're a really awesome band from Brisbane, you should check them out. And they're like, oh, cool, hell yeah, I will. So I really love that about the community, is that, like, people are really willing to go and check out new music.
It's something that's almost lost nowadays, because so many people get stuck in, you know, their specific holes and... I mean, we saw it recently, right? As you probably know, Dream Theater released a new album recently. We did a deep dive on it a couple of episodes ago, and we weren't exactly scathing of it, but we weren't exactly, you know, singing its praises. But yep. There was so much in that community of people just going, "Oh, it's the greatest thing ever," because blah blah blah, you know. And it's almost like they're afraid to get out of that zone, that Dream Theater zone, and actually go, well, actually, hang on a minute, let's talk about this. You know, Porcupine Tree released a new single, three or four days ago or something, and that thing kicks.
Yeah, man.
You know, like, there's so much great new music out there, and they are, yes, they're both prog bands, but they're chalk and cheese, really, when you think about it, which is one of the great things about prog. But in today's sort of pop sensibilities age, it's very... unusual to get people stepping outside their box. So it's great to see that sort of thing is happening.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I honestly couldn't agree more, man. You know, I think prog, what's sort of necessitated with prog is stepping out of the boundaries. I don't know. It's, I've been looking outward past heavy music a lot recently, to be honest. And I'm only coming back to heavy music sort of recently. Mm-hmm. I think there wasn't a lot of anger during COVID. It was mostly just sadness. And so I sort of looked out towards, like, you know, a very different music. Mm. Yeah. I can't say I've actually listened to Dream Theater's new album yet. Mm. Yeah.
There's an 8-string on it.
There's an 8-string on it. Oh, okay. Shit.
I mean, that's, you know, that's a thing that everyone's loving. So
I can't hear low 7-strings, so. So what are you gonna do?
You wouldn't make a very good bass player. You don't happen to know any good bass players, do you? I hear, you know.
Oh, man, not around here.
But it's it's obviously a great festival that's you know, rocked up. And one of the things, I think the last festival I actually went to was Dead of Winter Festival up in Brizzy, up your way.
Yep.
And that was incredible. What was really incredible about that, I remember after the festival, I was stood outside and I was actually speaking to the guys from, actually I might've even been speaking to you. I was speaking to the guys from your old band Opus, and, yep. We were chatting away, and then I noticed on the fence outside, there was a big Queensland, government logo. Now, for someone coming from Sydney, where the New South Wales government response to live music is, what?
Yeah,
it was really difficult to sort of process that and go, oh, hang on a minute, this is very odd that the government actually here actually gives a shit about live music. Do you know if the government's involved in this one as well, or
in the festival?
Yeah.
Not to my knowledge. Okay. I'm pretty sure it's, yeah, just like a private sort of venture. Mm-hmm. But I could be wrong as well. I could be speaking out of my ass. Yeah, Queensland has got some really good initiatives going in the arts sector. Mm-hmm. You know, just across the board with classical music, with, you know, dance, theatre, all of that stuff. They all sort of get government grants. There's a whole stack of ones that are available for us in Queensland as well. It's really helpful. Mm. They're honestly, Queensland's amazing for that.
Because you moved up there recently, didn't you? Or were you always from Queensland and I'm just completely retarded?
Yeah, no. I was always up in Queensland. Well, I was born in Wollongong and went around, you know, a couple of Sydney places in Canberra for a few years. But yeah, I've been like Queensland bound for a while.
Yeah. Okay. Right. I mean, that's just obviously me getting things completely wrong. Which never happens, of course. So one thing I've wondered, and I know earlier you said that we don't talk about COVID. You know, we don't mention the COVID. There's been a lot of stuff that I've been looking at online recently with people using this time that they have had at home or, you know, in lockdown and all that kind of stuff to kind of better themselves.
Mm.
What have you been doing as a bass player?
Yeah, it's a good question, man. In terms of practice?
In terms of anything. I mean, have you taken to playing, you know, a new instrument? Have you taken to playing, in a new style, in a new tuning, you know, using, I don't know, your tongue, I don't know, like, what is it? Like, what's the, have you done anything, or have you just kind of gone, you know what, I'm going to use this for downtime and just chill?
Yeah, no, it's been the opposite of downtime. I think Sam also in Caligula's Horse sort of echoes these thoughts as well, but I've, like, honestly never been as busy in the past 2 years as ever before. Mm-hmm. You know, the pressures of everything has basically necessitated that with work and everything in between. But I've, yeah, glad you brought that up. I've been casually picking up piano for the past, when I say piano, keys, just for the sort of 3 months. And that's been incredible. It's opened up so many different, I don't know, when you approach a new instrument, you don't have any of these historical preconceptions about what you've got to do on your instrument, right? You don't have, like, high school, this dude said to play this way, you know, for the past, you know, a few years playing this way or whatever. If you come into a new instrument just on your own, you literally have nothing except for your own, like, omnidirectional approach to an instrument, which is amazing. So I've just come into it being like, if I put my fingers here, what happens? And some of that theory that comes back from other instruments plays into it as well. But you don't approach things like melody in the same way if you're playing on a keyboard. You approach it in a totally different way because everything is, like, I don't know, right there for me. It makes a lot more sense on a keyboard in a way, I think. Yeah, anyway, that's what I've been up to. I've just been learning a bit of keys and putting some music together.
Any new music for Seahorse, or is this all personal new side Dale project, the Icewind Dale or something? I don't know.
Oh, I can't wait for my dubstep side project to come out. It'll be the biggest banger of 2022. No, we're always thinking about new music, man. Like, it's, we try and work as hard and fast as possible to get stuff out. So it's definitely on our minds and we've talked about it. Yeah.
Mm. You're not taking the Tool approach and just letting people deal with it for, what, 13 years or something? And
Yeah, no, definitely not. I think it's like, if you're going to do that, at least for us, we'd probably just call it a day if it was to that point of, like, do we really feel like doing an album? Well, not really. I think the moment that you sort of do that, you've got to question, like, where your musical progress is really going. If you're, like, if you're not writing new music, new music is, like, the new direction for you, right? At least in my opinion. So, yeah, I think, like, I don't know, Caligula's Horse has done 5 albums in the last 10 years. That's pretty good.
Absolutely, yeah.
We've been in the band for 2 years, so, you know, and 2 of those years have been locked down. So that's amazing.
And you're still in the band. Normally they look for to blame the bass player, don't they? So, you know, oh, COVID, he joined last, must be his fault.
I'm pretty sure I'm the reason why COVID happened.
Yeah, you're patient zero, aren't you?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a reason why I fell off the map for many, many months. It's because I was getting investigated.
Oh, and all that 5G as well. I mean, that's all, you know, definitely happened there as well.
I'm on Ethernet, so I have no idea about this 5G nonsense.
There's the nerd response. I ran into, I say I ran into, I caught up with Scott Kay from Voyager the other night. And he was telling me about how he's basically fallen, not fallen down the rabbit hole, but he bought Diablo, the new Diablo remastered, right? And he's been just playing it like a fiend.
Amazing.
Is there anything that you've done like that, like, over the last little while? You've gone, you know what? I've always wanted to play, you know, Super Mario 64 all the way through. You know, what's been the things that you've picked up fun-wise, I suppose? Not that music isn't fun, but...
Yeah, I mean, like, I get really obsessive about things. This is, like, the nature of someone like me. I spent probably a month to 2 months straight of only doing music and just being like, everything else sucks. I'm not going to play games. I'm not going to, you know, I don't know, do anything fun, go for walks or anything. I'm just going to sit in my room and write music. And now I'm in this period of, like, I really want to play some games. So I've been playing Stardew Valley a whole bunch.
Oh, cool.
And playing Stardew Valley. We've got a Switch as well here. My girlfriend's playing Switch. She's doing like Mario Odyssey at the moment, mm-hmm. and she's super into Stardew at the moment as well. Mm-hmm. So we've got like competing contests about our little farms. It's nice and fun.
As long as they're all in you know, fun and games, you know, everything's jocular in nature. Everything yeah. is good.
Yeah.
There was a question. I was speaking to my co-host Hoggy about this and said, oh, you know, hey, I'm interviewing Dale again. You know, what do you want to ask him? And he shot through a couple of questions. And one question that he did want to ask is regarding insurance at the moment. It doesn't seem there's some really big bands out there like Marillion, for example, who have basically crowdfunded their insurance policy. So if you know shit kicks off and they can't actually complete a tour or something like that, they can still pay people and so on and so forth. There's not really anyone around at the moment that I'm aware of who's actually insuring against, you know, stuff coming out of COVID or, you know, other pandemics and all that kind of stuff. I mean, how does that look for you guys? You know, what are you guys doing about it? Or are you just kind of doing these ones and going, it'll be fine, you know?
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm not the best person to ask about that.
Okay.
Honestly, truth be told, most of the time when it comes to tours and stuff, like we've obviously had a stack of tours canceled. I think we counted the other day or the other month and it was like 8 tours or something canceled across the past 2 years, which is hence the cynicism towards COVID. Mm-hmm. You know, like being essentially on the cusp of like trying to break some different markets and, you know, releasing an album that we're all super proud of. Mm. And then having this hit like 3 months before its release. So for us, it's more of like just constantly trying to keep something moving, keep something on the horizon and keep some semblance of hope that, you know, the dream's not dead, pardon the pun. That's actually a really good pun that I've used a few times, so don't excuse it at all. It's for me, even for our last shows that we did when it was at the Triffid in Brisbane, I straight up didn't get excited about the show until maybe 10 or 11 a.m. on the day, because I was honestly convinced that it just wasn't going to happen, mm-hmm. that there was going to be a lockdown and all of that stress and energy was going to be for absolutely nothing. Because mm-hmm. It happened to the dudes from Voyager. They were on the way to their show and they straight up just locked down and mm-hmm. like the only lockdown they've been in, I think, I don't know, just super unlucky. Mm. And so I was convinced that that was going to happen to us. Mm. And it, you know, got to show day and I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I should take this seriously now. Mm, mm.
Yeah, I mean, I remember because it was fourth time lucky, I think, for the boys in Voyager. I actually missed the show here by like a week. I was really annoyed because I moved over and I was in quarantine. So I couldn't do it, unfortunately. But then I ran into Danny on the street and caught up with Scott a little bit later on. So that was good. Is there anyone in particular that you're really looking forward to sharing the stage with? And in actual fact, here's another question. I know there's another announcement yet to be made. I know you probably can't tell us who's on that announcement. You may not even know. But who are you hoping for?
Honestly, I'm just completely stoked to see the Circles boys on the bill. They're some of my closest friends, and I miss them so, so dearly. Ted is forever going to be one of my best friends on this planet. He is such a calm soul to be around. So I'm just stoked that Circles are on the bill.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, you know, like we went to Europe with them even before I was in Seahorse. We went to Europe and toured with I Built the Sky and Circles. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be like half of the family back together again, mm-hmm. which is kind of cool. Who else? Oh, the Omnific as well. I've toured with them mm-hmm. once. and done a few shows every time they've sort of come up to Brisbane and around the place. So it'll be good to see those dudes again and have them just show me up with their bass skills. Can't wait to feel like an amateur.
And I mean, is there anyone coming up on the next lineup announcement that would blow us out of the water? Obviously, you can't name names. That's fine. And you may know, you may not. But I mean, is there anyone that people are going to go far? Let me phrase it like this. Am I going to go, fuck, I need to, you know, run the gauntlet at the border to come over and see this?
I'm not sure of who's on the next announcement yet. We either don't know, or you know, it's still in the works. I honestly don't know who's on the next lineup, but it's going to be amazing because we're on it, he said sarcastically.
No, I think genuinely, I mean, you are one of the premier prog guys in Australia now. You're up there with your Cogs, your Carnivals, your you know, Dead Letter Circus, Butterfly Effect. You know, I mean, Butterfly Effect have got a new album coming out as well. You know,
so hyped for that, man.
Oh, absolutely. If it's anything like their last one, I am all about it. Actually, any of their stuff's good. What am I saying? But you know, I mean, there's so much music that's coming out. I mean, this year there's been, I was looking at my playlist today, there's been over 300 hours of new music that's come out in the prog sphere. And that's just the stuff that I can find and shove into this playlist. I mean, have you been listening to anything? You mentioned that you got away from the heavier kinds of stuff for a while, and now you're sort of starting to listen to the heavier stuff. You know, the last time we spoke, I'm pretty sure you gave me the Deer Hunter to listen to.
Oh, cool.
Which was amazing, by the way.
Awesome. So glad that you got into them.
You know, I mean, what else have you been listening to? Have you picked up anything really cool in the last little while?
Yeah, I'm like, as of right now, just loading up my Spotify, because I always space on this. If someone's like, hey, man, what have you been listening to recently? I'm like, oh, shit. I can't remember. What have I been listening to? I've been listening. Oh, so I went to the listening party for this local band called It's Acrylic recently, like last night, and their music is not at all prog, not heavy necessarily. It's like sort of alt rock, sort of indie vibes, a bit of electronic stuff in there, but the arrangements are just absolutely amazing on the EP. They've just released a single, so that's amazing. It's called We Act Like Kings. I've also been listening to Frost as well. Sam mentioned, like, earlier this year, I think we were talking about Frost before they released their last album. And we were just talking about their discography. And I realized that I'd never listened to Million Town. He's like, dude, you simply have to. It is up there with some of the best prog music ever released.
That's like required reading.
Yeah, I know. I'm like that. I know very little about the repertory of prog, I suppose, or the canon of prog. So yeah, I've been smashing Million Town, and that's just absolutely floored me, man. Especially for Learning Keys at the moment, I'm just taking so much from that album and running with it. The usual stuff for me as well, like very sort of calm music, Nils Fromm and Oliver Arnold's as well. I teach like a history of entertainment, I also do I teach at an academy in Brisbane, and part of it is looking at how entertainment has evolved over the past, like, sort of, you know, 2,000 years, essentially.
Yeah.
So part of that is I sort of produce some content based on, you know, classical music and stuff as well. So I've really been going back through the annals of classical music and re-listening to everything there. Mahler has really come up recently for me.
Yeah.
His Symphony No. 5 is just some of the most incredible work. Wagner as well. I've been going down a classical route recently and just having a lot of fun with it.
I mean, there's a lot to be said for classical, and a lot to be said for, you know, Baroque and so on and so forth. All of that, you know, era of music is just, I mean, it's been around for a reason, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Do you ever stop to think and wonder whether or not people are going to be listening to you guys in 400 years' time?
Almost certainly not. I mean, like, I've never thought about it, to be honest, but I mean, there's just so much music, and like, prog is a very small genre. We know what it is. Yeah, we just, I don't know. I never really think about the long term in that sense. It would be nice if people keep listening to our music, of course. You know, that's sort of probably a good marker for whether your music's good or not, if people sort of listen to it. You know, if we think about a lot of pop music that comes around and it's like you just instantly forget about some bad stuff in the pop scene. There's obviously incredible stuff in there as well. I feel like longevity in terms of listening is a really good marker for, you know, how good your music is. You don't really have a lot of external motivators for whether you're doing well or not, but it's like, oh, people are still listening to us. They must be at least interested. That's kind of nice.
And I mean, the other question, I suppose, that's been rattling around my head for the last however long with particular bands, and it's something that I ask most Australian bands nowadays, your tour plans. I mean, what's happening with you guys? I mean, I'm now a sand groper, so I have to ask when you're coming to WA next. And yes, economies of touring and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I mean, what have you guys seen? What have you guys heard about what's happening on a touring front? Obviously, you've got the Uncaged Festival, which is going to be amazing. It's going to be huge. And if anyone's listening to this and you haven't got tickets and you're able to go, go and do that. But, you know, what are the things that you're, I suppose, what plans are potentially in the work for you guys?
Yeah, we still want to. It's part of being caught in this middle ground between what comes next for us and what we've already done. Mm. That's constantly playing on our minds, because we have this album that we feel like we released in the middle of COVID, and it's really tricky because we made the choice. I mean, we're already committed, but we made the choice to release the album in the middle of COVID because that's what we felt was important about it. You know, this album ostensibly about hope and endurance and perseverance in the face of adversity. Mm-hmm. A lot of songs dealing with that. And, you know, what better time to do that than a global pandemic? But at the same time, we haven't had the opportunity to really, like, solidify those songs live. So... We're sort of caught between, like, potentially new music and still touring off the old album. Mm. So Australia's on the horizon. Australia's the safest choice for us right now. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have to quarantine if we tour Australia necessarily. We're looking pretty good for our vaccine rollout and, you know, the 80% to 90% thresholds that we have now for quarantine looks okay. So that sort of makes sense for us at the moment. Europe and North America, they've just announced some new stuff with COVID as well, so we'll see about that. It's basically like just fingers crossed that things happen quick, and if they do, then we have the opportunity to tour on it. Otherwise, don't know.
have you had the discussion about, you know, doing the 70s thing and getting a bus, throwing your shit in the back of it, and just doing like a massive regional tour, you know, not just, you know, Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, but all the regional little areas and just, you know, playing to 10 people at the pub and all that kind of stuff, a la the old days, you know?
Yeah. I'm surprised we haven't really thrown that idea around yet. It's a good idea, to be honest. Like, regional Australia is number one, just somewhere that I haven't really seen that much. but we also want, you know, like, invest a lot of our time into trying to play to the most amount of people that we can, I suppose, which is why the major city thing always resonates with a lot of bands. It's the amount of prep and the amount of time that you have to take off with work and your outside commitments is really important for that too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting here, in Australia, because we have such great distances, you know, it's not like you're going from, you know, Fort Worth to Dallas, where you've got several million people. You know, you're talking, your Brisbane to Sydney is, you know, Brisbane's what, 4 million people, I think, now, and Sydney's nudging 7.
Yeah.
But there ain't, I mean, yes, there are some major centers in between, and people who live in those major centers would say that I'm being a dick for saying this, but they're not exactly big, you know what I mean? A couple of 100,000 maybe at most.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, very, very different. So, yeah, I don't know. It's we are in weird times, but it is great to see you guys back in full force. I'm going to have to see if I can get over there, but you know, with the borders and with Marky Mark doing what he's doing at the moment and the announcements that came through today, it's like, oh, for fuck's sake, you know, who knows what's going to happen. Yeah. So,
yeah, inevitable.
Yeah. Yeah, so look, I mean, that's all I had prepared. You know,
awesome.
There's not really much else to talk about. Well, there's not much else to talk about. There's plenty to talk about. But nothing sort of as far as anything else is concerned. Have you got anything that you think you want to bring up that I've missed?
Go and listen to our last album if you haven't. go and stream the shit out of it.
Absolutely.
And come to the next Seahorse show. It's a really good time. We have fun on stage when we are on there, and people have fun in the crowd unless they're lying to our faces. Yeah, come and have some fun.
Absolutely. And as someone who's seen these guys twice, three times, I don't know, many times, I will vouch for that. It is
oh, yeah,
always a great time when you see Seahorse. They're amazing musicians and they're great people, and Dale is a great example of that. So Dale, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Dave. It's been a pleasure again. It's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Stay safe.
The 9-8 interview.